Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 166, Prevailing Prayer. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on January 3rd, 2021.
So praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome.
Hallelujah.
Good to see you on YouTube Live this morning. Praise God. Hope you're well and prospering in good health, even as your soul prospers, according to 3 John verse 2. We're just excited about going into 2021 with strength, with victory, and with the blessing of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, also, as they said, welcome to the fast. Those of you who have been fasting a full fast, you know, this is the third day. So by the third day, your headaches are gone and your energy is returned and your stomach is okay and your flesh isn't screaming anymore. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing. And usually your hunger goes away on the third day or so if you do a full fast. Those of you who are doing partial fasts or Daniel fasts or other kinds of fasts, we're welcoming you to do at whatever level you can, whatever you can do, whatever you believe God wants you to do, just obey Him in that. So this year, every year we've asked people to whatever money that they're saving by fasting. In other words, you're not going to the grocery store and buying groceries, not eating what you're paying for. So that means you have extra money, right? So we're asking you to sow those funds into a special fund that we always use for missions. And this year our missions project is is actually in Peru. Our friends from Cuba, from Iglesia Bethel, are opening a headquarters in Peru. And so we're contributing towards that effort of getting that headquarters established. Our teams have gone to Peru on one occasion, had really tremendous ministry trip there. God is moving in a great way. Right now we have two missionaries from Cuba that are in Peru that we helped to sponsor. And they are doing a great work feeding people, ministering to people, raising up that new church there. It's really awesome what God is doing. So that's where our fasting funds will go this year. When you fast and you give what you didn't eat, you give the money that you didn't eat to the fund, that's where they're going this year. So praise the Lord. You just indicate on your envelope when you're giving. You can either indicate Peru or you can indicate fasting. So some way that we know that that's a portion that goes towards that. So praise God for that. So this morning, we're going to start a series on prayer. Our theme really for this month is dynamic prayer with tremendous power. So everybody is really called to pray. And when we encourage you to fast, really it's about not just skipping meals, it's about making a connection with God. In the Old Testament, when it speaks about fasting, most of the time it refers to it this way: humble yourself before the Lord. So what that means is that you have to engage in some way. You have to be the person who humbles yourself. God is not going to make you be humble, but you can humble yourself. And one of the ways that they did it in the Old Testament and into the New Testament is to humble themselves by fasting. It's a way of setting aside physical things to reach for spiritual things. There's no magic in it. There's no magic about skipping meals. You know, you could just fast and skip meals and have no spiritual result at all. But if you're seeking God during your fasting time and you're humbling yourself before the Lord and open yourself to God, that's the real reason for fasting. The Bible says in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples, don't be like the hypocrites and fast so people can see you. You know that you do. Of course, we've been talking about it this morning just to bring your consciousness to what we're doing. But we're not fasting for people to see or to feel sorry for us or to be miserable, you know, because our being miserable doesn't help you get closer to God. Have you figured that out? So it's not about depriving yourself so that you're miserable so that God answers your prayer. That is not the reason for fasting. The reason for fasting is to set aside time to do away with physical things, to reach, to seek after God, and to receive from Him in that communion time, that relation time. The Bible says, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what we want to do is we want to hear from God as well as speak to Him. So many times we're just in a monologue instead of a dialogue. You know, we're just talking to Him and just telling Him what we want, what we need, and what we're going to have. And then we hang up the phone and just go on our way. But God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak into your heart. He wants you to set some time aside so that you can be alone with Him and receive from Him and hear from Him. So everybody is really called to a place of prayer. And as we enter this new year, we're facing a lot of uncertainties, perhaps, in many areas. And prayer is undoubtedly an important faith action or initiative for a follower of Jesus to take up. If you're not in prayer this year, you're probably going to be in trouble this year, a great portion of it, because there are new things coming up. There are things that maybe you don't expect. There are maybe things that you do expect, and some of them are not good things. But how do we get through those things? Because we do it because we have a relationship with God. And the way we express that relationship is through prayer, through speaking to Him and through hearing His voice in our lives. So we're encouraging everybody in this month especially to just kick it up a notch, step it up a notch, and just be intentional about your prayer life. Be intentional about increasing your time with the Lord. You know, if you're not eating, you can be praying, right? So those meals you're skipping, that's a good time for prayer. It's a good reminder. I'm not eating this meal, so I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to talk to the Lord. I'm here to minister to Him, as well as allowing Him to minister to me. God promises us that earnest prayer of a righteous person avails much. So you should know that going into this year, God is expecting great results in your life because your earnest prayer is effective and it's availing much. It's producing good things. Praise the Lord. So the word says that it has great power and produces wonderful results. So that's our word of encouragement to really make this a focus now. Those prayer points on the prayer sheet are helpful. There's a lot of scriptures that you can be praying. You can be praying one a day, or you can pray all of them every day, however you want to do it. But those are some guidelines so that all of us are on the same page, praying for the same kind of things, believing God the same way, and God will honor that in an awesome way. So I want to read a scripture from Habakkuk chapter 2, because I think this puts some focus on the importance of taking up prayer as a priority. Habakkuk here, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, says, "I will take my place at the watchtower." This is Habakkuk 2, verse 1. "I will stand at my post and watch. I will watch and see what he says to me. I need to think about how I should respond to him when he gets back to me with his answer." So there you see that it's not about you just talking to God, but it's about him speaking to you and you listening and thinking about how you should respond to what he says. A lot of people, you know, I grew up in a family that prayed. I grew up in a family that taught prayer. But the way we learned it was just memorize this and say it. And I'm not saying there wasn't any value in that. You know, I can still remember those prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I remember, praying the Lord's Prayer in church every Sunday. And I've got no problems with any of those kind of things. But I noticed something in our church. I noticed that all the prayers that the pastor prayed, all of them were prayed out of a book. And I began to think as a young person, I wonder if he knows any other ones. Because the only ones I ever saw him pray were the ones out of the book. And so we kind of got the idea that you can't pray unless you pray out of the book. But really, there's maybe some validity to praying that way, because everybody can pray the same prayer, the same kind of prayer, the same words. There's prayer, you know, it can be a prayer of agreement and so forth and so on. So I'm not saying there's no value in that, but I'm saying that, you know, your prayer life should grow beyond the book. Your prayer life should go beyond the memorized prayer or the same kind of prayer that you quickly pray over your meals. Have you ever noticed, you know, you start praying over your meal, that almost always it falls into a pattern. I mean, I do it just, you know, and sometimes it just becomes like a routine. I'm just praying to be praying, not to really mean anything. And so So I think this year God is challenging us, that we should go deeper than that. You know, let's just make it about Him instead of about, let's get through with this so I can get to my meal, or let's get through with this so I can get out of my quiet prayer time and get into my work thing or my family thing or my whatever my schedule is. So just being intentional about those kind of things. So Habakkuk here is saying it's like being a person who's a watchman on the watchtower. And that person, as Pastor Don read in the scripture just before, is an important person because he's sounding the alarm. So when you're on the watchtower and sounding, and you hear the sound of the alarm, you know something's up. So many times in your prayer time, if you're listening to God, He's trying to warn you. He's trying to counsel you. He's trying to guide you. He's trying to direct you, not only in your day, but your week, your month, the whole year. Situations at your job, situations at your workplace, situations around us that are happening. And so he wants to reveal Himself to you in a special way if you just open your heart to it. So we're making a call to prayer, a special call to prayer during these 21 days, but we're believing that if you do it for 21 days, that you'll keep that pattern up throughout the year, that you'll have built your prayer life, you'll have strengthened your prayer life, and you'll be taking it further with God. So that's our goal. That's the reason that we have that we're studying prayer in the cell groups. You know, if anybody has been experiencing sickness, or anybody has been struggling with some kind of thing that they want to throw off in their life, it's really important to learn the principles of prayer that will help you in those things. And if you just look at the first two chapters in that book, in that Bible prayer study course, you could walk out healed out of the first chapter in the first four of the seven principles of prayer that he's teaching in the first two chapters. So it's an amazing book. Pastor Karen and I learned those principles many years ago by using that book and using the teachings of Dr. Hagen and Dr. Summerall and some of the other men of God. We learned principles of praying in faith and how to do it. So the first point in that book is be specific in your prayers. You know, if you're just in general just praying for stuff, how does God know what to answer you? You know, sometimes people come for prayer and they say, I'd like prayer, Pastor. And I say, okay, what shall we pray about? I don't know, just pray. Well, I don't know either, really, you know. Just what should I pray? That you drop dead or that you, I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't pray that. But you know, sometimes it just kind of takes me off guard. You know, like you come for prayer, you should know what you want to pray for. And let's be specific about it. Let's believe God together. The Bible said, where two should agree is touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. So let's get something that we can get a hold of and agree on. Sometimes people come to us and they say, well, you know, I don't know whether to go to the doctor or not. I don't know what to do about this. So I usually try to find out where people's faith level is. You know, are you at a place where that you can walk out of this thing without going to a doctor? Or are you already going to a doctor, taking instruction from him? Where can we get in agreement? Because doctors or no doctors, Jesus is the healer. Amen. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that delivers you from all kinds of stuff. So let's just find a place where we can stand in agreement. And then at that place of agreement, wherever two should agree is touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them of our Father which is in heaven. And so that's some of the principles that you'll be learning as you progress in the course that we're doing in the cell groups. And I know it will be a blessing to you, because I know that your prayer life will change. I know that the results that you're getting will increase. And I know that it'll be a fervent, effective, powerful prayer that will change things. So I'm expecting that our whole church family will be transformed by the power of God through the power of prayer that we're beginning here in this first part of the year. So I want to look in the book here in Matthew chapter 26, and we can, because this is really a good example of the need for prayer, and the importance of prayer. And it comes from the life of Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. So this is when Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. It says in verse 36 that Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over here and pray." Then he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." So this is one of the most important times of Jesus' life to have prayer support. And he's coming to his disciples and asking, "Look, just keep watch with me. I'm really, really anguished over what's happening and what's going to happen. Please, just sit and watch and pray with me." So it kind of brings us back to when I was reading from Habakkuk about being the watchman on the tower. We have a job to do. We have to be what God has called us to be. One of the things he's called us to be is to be the watchman for our nation, the watchman for our cities, the watchman for our families, the watchmen for our personal lives. You know, it's important that we see not only the need for prayer, but the importance that God places on each of us, the responsibility that he gives to each of us to pray and to watch with him. So here in verse 39, then, it says, "He went a little farther and he bowed his face to the ground, saying, 'My Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.'" So this was a situation that God had called him to do a certain thing, to go a certain direction. And, none of us are called to take the sins of the world. So it's hard for us to kind of fit ourselves into that place. But you have to understand that God does have a place for you, and he does have a will for you. His will is not for you to suffer sickness, disease, poverty, weakness, and those kinds of things that will destroy you. But he has a will in his kingdom for you. He has a calling on your life. And sometimes people think, "Well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not this, I'm not that." But God has called all of us to minister to people in some way. And when we're called to minister to people, we need to have from God a consciousness of what his will is, and be committed to his will. So this we would call kind of a prayer of consecration and dedication, because Jesus he's saying, "Father, if there's a way, just take it. But if there isn't a way, I want to walk in your will." So in other words, I'm consecrating myself. I'm dedicating myself to walk in your will. Now that's different than the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith says, "Whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." This is a different kind of prayer. So you don't use the same prayer rules for this as you would use for the prayer of faith, because it's two totally different things. Most people don't even think about prayers having different aspects like that. But you'll learn that in the study course that we're about to take. So verse 40 says, "He returned to the disciples and he found them asleep. And he said, 'Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.'" Oh, there we have it right there. you're down to what the problem is, right? We want to do the things of God. We want to be walking with God. We want to be entering into the things of his kingdom. We want to be used of God. But then there's the flesh. The flesh is weak. The flesh is tired. The flesh is beat. The flesh is whatever. The flesh is hanging out. You know what I mean? Wow. This is the reality. And we see this in Jesus' disciples. You know, they were just exhausted for whatever reason. Or maybe the devil put them to sleep. I don't know exactly what was going on in their minds, but they surely weren't conscious of the place that Jesus was in this. Maybe they still didn't believe what he said. You know, he said, "I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die." He just told them that at dinner. And, you know, somehow it didn't affect them in such a way that they could stay awake. But how many times have we fallen asleep in Jesus. You know, we can criticize the disciples and say, well, if I would have been there, I would have done this, I would have done that. Well, listen to Peter. You know, he's saying, all the rest of them can run away from you, but I'm going to stick with you. Well, he did sort of. He kind of followed, you know, he followed Jesus into the courtroom and whatever, and then he denied him. Which is worse, running away or just totally denying him? So sometimes, you know, we go forward with great ambition and with great, you know, I'm going to do this for Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, but then somehow we go to sleep on it, you know? The flesh gets weak, or we get tempted, or we get distracted, or, you know, stuff is going on, or something happens, you know? Usually when you commit yourself to do something for God, you know, then the devil doesn't like you doing things for God, so he tries to throw in some roadblocks and some things to test you, some things to really see if you mean what you said. Are you really going to go through with this? Are you really going to carry it out? So that's where the disciples were here. So in verse 42, then it says, then Jesus left them a second time, and he said, Father, if this cup cannot be taken away, unless I drink it, your will be done. So he's continuing to consecrate himself to this. We don't know what else he prayed. You know, this is just a few phrases that his disciples recorded. You know, I don't know how they knew it. They were sleeping. But he must have told them later on, because he came back to them after he got raised from the dead and he spent time with them. There were like, 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension before Jesus went back to heaven. And the Bible says he appeared to them many times and talked to them and opened the scriptures to them and taught them. Wouldn't it have been awesome to be part of that? Just to, you know, kind of be the little mouse in the room, you know, when he's talking to his disciples and opening all this up so they could see, you know, this is what I went through and this is what happened and this is how it's affected the world. And now you're supposed to go out and preach this good news. Wouldn't that be amazing? So, but here in the garden, they're not so strong. They're asleep. Their flesh was weak. They were asleep. And Jesus is saying, watch and pray so you don't enter into temptation. Temptation to what? Well, then to Peter, I guess he meant to deny him. But to the rest of the disciples, he meant not to run away. Don't be running away. Stick with me. Stick with me in this as I'm going through this. So then he returned to them again and found them sleeping. So he'd awakened them once, and now he's going back to them and they're sleeping again. For they couldn't keep their eyes open. Have you ever been like that? You're just kind of in la-la land and you're just, you know, trying to stay awake. You know, I've been in services like that. Maybe I'm speaking to you now, you know. If you're drifting off, you know, Santos just turned up the air conditioning so that you can stay a little bit less warmed up, you know, and comfortable. But he's got his cap on, so I hope he's not sleeping back there. But anyway, it's his floppy ear cat. We should have him come and demonstrate that. Anyway, it's not a time to sleep. It's a time to stay awake, and it's a time to stay alert. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you've had a busy week, you've had a busy day yesterday, and you've had maybe not as much sleep as you should have had last night. And so now it's hard to... He's talking about prayer. I got to listen to this, you know. But that's the flesh. We deal, every person, every man, every woman, every young person deals with the flesh. We have to learn how to deal with the flesh. And that's why sometimes it's good to deprive the flesh of things like food and other creature comforts that we love, you know, to do it. I got some photos from our missionaries in Peru this morning, and he said, I guess we're good missionaries now. And he was sending a photo of them sleeping on the floor in this new room that they're renovating, this new building that they're renovating. And I said, well, it's not quite like a refugee camp, and be nice to have a bed, but you're good missionaries. You're preaching the gospel, and you're feeding people, and you're doing all kinds of great things. So don't worry about it. You'll get back to the bed soon. Praise the Lord. So Jesus comes back to them. He returned to them. He found them sleeping. They couldn't keep their eyes open. Verse 44, so he went to pray a third time. saying the same things again. So, you know, some prayers, you know, we say to you, you know, you don't have to pray the prayer of faith over and over. You can pray it once, believe God, and then begin thanking Him. But the prayer of dedication and consecration is a little different. This is a prayer that we have to continually dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Why? Because we have to remind ourselves, look, I have to walk this through. I'm not at the end yet. I've got some days, weeks, months, and years ahead of me. I've got to walk through this. And if I don't dedicate myself to God's will, how am I going to get through this and really end up right? See, it's not how you begin that counts. It's how you finish that counts. And there's a lot of pitfalls along the way. A lot of places you can fall off the you go off the path or fall off the wagon. You know, it's just it's endless. You know what Satan can do to trip you up. So we want to get to the end. And to do that, we need to continually dedicate and consecrate ourselves to the will of God. Say, God, you know, I want to do this, but if that's not your will, I want to do your will. I want to be in the center of your will. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he's saying the same things. And then it says he came to his disciples and said, okay, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. You see, the issue with not having an intentional, effective prayer life, the issue with it is that there comes a time when there's no time to pray. You're in it now. you're in the battle now, and your time to pray before the battle is gone. And so that's what Jesus is saying is go to sleep now. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. It's too late. It's too late to wake up and pray with me now. But let's head out there and let's face what God has put in front of us. Let's face the difficulties and the situations and the circumstances. But just think of how the story could have been different if every time Jesus came back to him, he found him praying. It wouldn't have changed the cross. It wouldn't have changed any of that. But it might have changed how they responded to the things that were happening. You know, Peter might not have denied him. Did you think about that? I mean, it was really a conscious choice of his to deny Jesus. I mean, he didn't have to. He could have said, yes, I know him. Crucify me with him. But he didn't. He said, I don't know the man. I don't know him. And then he cursed and swore and said he didn't know him. But we have to see ourselves in these pictures. Otherwise, we don't get the picture. So how many crises could have we done differently if we had just been faithful to pray, to watch and pray, and to have a new kind of prayer life that changes things. So that's what we're encouraging you all of us to engage in. So there isn't anybody that can't increase their level of prayer, their intensity of prayer, their victory in prayer. This is all open to us. And there's so much in the Word of God on prayer. So the next few weeks we'll be hearing more things about prayer that will help you. But I want to close the message this morning because we're going to receive communion pretty soon. I want to close the message just looking at three quick aspects. The first is prayer initiatives. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, this is really a familiar scripture, and we've used this many, many, many times, but it really illustrates the point. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14 says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. Amen. If you just think about the things that are going on around us today, not just in the U.S., but in almost all the nations of the world, that prayer, that kind of prayer fits. This is a... this is an interesting kind of prayer because it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. And I said before, as I said before, when the Old Testament is talking about humbling themselves, it's talking about fasting. That's how they humbled themselves before God. And so it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. So it's God's promise to every generation, really, from the Old Testament up until this time. It's a prayer initiative. But the thing I want you to see there is he's not asking the people out there in the world to pray. He's not asking the unbelievers to pray. He's not asking people in dead churches to pray. He's asking people that are called by his name to humble themselves and pray. So what does that mean? It's probably not going to be the majority of people around you, right? It's probably going to be the remnant.
Yep.
So because somebody's going to be touched in their heart and feel, you know, I really need to pay attention. I mean, the time is already getting late. The clock is ticking. We'll be in that situation where Jesus was and says, you know, it's too late. You can rest and sleep, but, you know, it's too late. The time is now. We're going. We're headed for the courtroom. And maybe that's where we are as a nation, you know. We've had lots of chances to bring our nation to God, for us to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We've had opportunity after opportunity for people to receive the gospel, multiple ways. And yet we're still in this condition of division, of strife, of confusion, of envy, and all kinds of problems and situations. So what's the solution? The solution is right here. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from wickedness, he says, then I'll look down from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. So what does that mean? That means that all the unbelievers out there don't need to pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. He just said, if my people who have my name on them and in their heart, if my people will turn and do these things, I'll hear from heaven. I mean, it's really an awesome promise because if we had to get everybody in the country to do this in order for it to work, I mean, we're sunk before we even start because, you know, there's some people that just reject God.
Right.
There's some people that just, you know, they think this is crazy stuff. They think you being in church this morning is stupid. Mm-hmm. You're wasting your time. But yet God has a promise to you. He said, if you will be one of those people, one of the remnant that humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from the wicked ways, that he will hear from heaven, just on account of you. So if it was down to one or two of us, it would still be valid and it would still work. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So prayer initiatives, it's the remnant that's going to do it. Second thing I want you to look at is prayer attitudes. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, therefore, I want men in every place. I'm reading from the Amplified, so it might be a little different than yours. Therefore, I want men in every place to pray, lifting holy hands without anger and disputing or quarreling or doubt in their mind. So he says men, but he's including the ladies too. I mean, this is just a general statement of how they stated things in those times. But he wants people in every place to raise their hands, holy hands, without anger, disputing, quarreling, or doubt. It's an attitude of prayer. You see, sometimes when we pray, we're just fit to be tied, so to speak. That's our colloquial expression. We're angry, we're frustrated, we're mad at the devil, we're mad at the people, we're mad at everything going on, we're just mad. It really isn't the right kind of prayer attitude to have, because he says, without anger, without disputing, without quarreling, without doubt, we should lift holy hands and pray. So now that's something for the flesh to work on. I mean, you know, because those other things come from the flesh, right? So Jesus said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Here you got it. But we can develop an attitude of prayer. That's the right attitude, the proper attitude. It starts by forgiving others. It starts by walking in love. It starts by meditating on scriptures about walking in love. Because if you don't have that word inside of you, you're not gonna walk in love. You're just gonna hate everybody. Because there's some people that aren't so nice. They're not nice like me. So, hallelujah. Prayer attitudes. But it's the faithful that will have this kind of prayer attitude. So the remnant will take a prayer initiative, but the faithful will have a prayer attitude because they'll be following after Jesus. They'll be following after the instruction that Paul and others in the Bible gave for prayer. The third thing and final thing is I want you to see prayer results. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 2, it says, this is what the Lord says. So if he's saying it, you better listen up, right? This is what the Lord says, the Lord who made the earth, who formed and established it, whose name is the Lord, ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. I will tell you remarkable secrets. Ask me. Just ask me and I will reveal secrets. Wow, if there was any other reason to pray, that would be a good one, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it? That he's going to show you remarkable things. You know, you can get your you can get your information from the media, the social media. God help you if you do. Or from the news media. God help you if you do there, because they're not your friend. They're not the friend of Jesus. They're not the friend of the kingdom of God. And they will do you in and put you under. Or you can get your information from God.
Amen.
He says, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Just think about this in just some practical ways. You know, most of us have families either of our own or families around us. And, you know, we want them all to be saved. We want them to come to God. We want them to know Jesus like we know Jesus, and even better. But sometimes it seems like it's not happening. But God says here, ask me, and I'll tell you some remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come. So in those times in prayer, you can get some secrets that will help you with your family. God only has to tell you one key thing to win a brother, to win a sister, to win a mom, a dad, an uncle, an aunt. Just one key thing is the key to turn their life around, for a child to come back to God or to come to God in the first place. For a brother or sister to be healed or delivered from something that they're going through. One key thing would do it. So God is saying, ask me. I'm the Lord. I'm the one who made heaven and earth. I'm the one whose name is the Lord. Ask me and I'll reveal remarkable secrets. So here we see prayer results. We see the God of revelation. So we have prayer initiatives by the remnant. We have prayer attitudes by the faithful. And we have prayer results by the God of revelation. Isn't that awesome? Because he wants to reveal himself to you. You know, this thing about fasting and praying, or praying and fasting, seeking God, seeking his face, getting close to him. It's about having that kind of relationship where you can ask him and he tells you stuff. Now, maybe you haven't experienced that in a big way, or maybe God has spoken to you some things and you just didn't recognize that it was God. He's trying to show you some stuff. But he wants you to be sharper about that, and the way that you get sharper about that is to enter into that place of prayer. So I want to really encourage you during these times that we're humbling ourselves or fasting, seeking his face, praying, Just even in the few minutes over your lunch hour at work or whatever, you know, I know that you have other responsibilities and so forth, so I'm not pretending that it's easy or anything like that, you know, that you can just take off, you know, 21 days and just, you know, sack out and just whatever. But you can take times and you can set and appoint times. So do things that make sense, but be intentional about it. Be asking God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to conduct this time? I'm busy, I have responsibilities, I have these things, but yet we have to make a priority for our prayer time and for our time with God. Somehow, in some places in the day, we can slot out some time for intentionally seeking God. And that's what we're encouraging you to do. So I want to close by just talking about releasing your dynamic, powerful prayer in 2021. I want to do it really from two scriptures, and then I'm finished with this message, and we're going to receive communion in a few minutes. James chapter 5, verse 16. How do we release our powerful, dynamic prayers in 2021? Verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other. Now, I know that's something you like to do, right? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Wouldn't it be great in 2021 for everybody in our church family just to be healed, walk in divine health?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yes.
He just told you how. Because there's no reason that any of us have to be sick.
Amen.
Have to be suffering sickness. He said, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then he says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So wouldn't divine health be a wonderful result? Or you could take some other areas. You know, people are worried about the economy. People are worried about where our country is going. People are worried about God's provision for them. Wouldn't it be great that even in the middle of the greatest trouble, that God's provision would overwhelm our church family? And that we could do more mission work than ever before because everybody's prospering in the middle of a famine, in the middle of trouble, in the middle of problems, in the middle of economic whatever might be ahead. I'm not predicting that it is ahead. I'm not saying this way or that way or whatever. I believe in a God of miracles, but He's bigger than the economy. His economy is different. Amen. Because Jesus said, if you give, it'll be given to you. Good measure, Amen. Pressed down, shaken together. That's God's economy. That's entering. He said, bring the tithes into the storehouse. That's God's economy. Yes. Amen. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. That's God's economy. That works for every nation. It works for every person. It works for every family because it's His Word. He hastens His Word to perform it. So just think about that. A prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then he points out that Elijah was a human as we are. He prayed earnestly. The rain would not fall, and none fell for 3.5 years. This is just a person, one person. This isn't getting 10,000 people in the church to pray to help you, to whatever, to push this thing through. This is one guy. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And it says he's a person like you are. So that brings it home. Amen. And then he says, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So you're important in the economy of God because you can make things happen or you can stop things from happening. Amen? If you just use this in the broader context, God isn't just interested in Elijah and some rain and no rain. He was interested in him at that time for that season. But He's interested in you because you have that kind of power. The same kind of power that Elijah had, you have. Praise the Lord. I could tell the story there about a man, I think I've already used it, but this guy in Africa, he heard this message. That was the only message he'd ever heard from the gospel. And he went out and planted corn in the middle of a famine, and he got corn. because it rained just on his corn. Nobody else's, just his. And so he was the richest person in the community. And he went out and bought himself some shoes, and he took the gospel to the other villages and preached this message. If you just pray, God will open the heaven. He'll pour down rain on your crop. And it worked for him. It was amazing. Amazing miracle of a poor man who never could read, never been taught, just heard one message. Come to Jesus and live like Elijah. Wow. So some, you know, you might think you need to know the whole Bible to get through. I'm not saying don't read the Bible. I'm not saying don't read the whole thing. But there are some things that you really need to know in your life that will take you over the top. This is one of them. You're a person. God's given you a responsibility. You have great power because you're a righteous person. Your prayers avail much. Yes. Nobody can take that away from you. They can try to take it away from you. They can try to oppress you and curse you and do all kinds of things to you, but they cannot take that away from you. Praise the Lord. And finally, this I'm going to try to read this and not give you any information about it. This is Jesus' commentary on prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy." It's hard not to interject there. I'm going to see that she gets justice.
Amen.
Just because she's wearing me out with her constant requests.
That's me.
Verse 6. And the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge, for he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think that God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. And when the Son of Man comes, returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" How many? So, Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us this awesome tool, this awesome weapon to fight the good fight of faith with, the prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did at the cross of Calvary. Thank you that you made a way where there wasn't any way for men, women, young people to come to God, your Father, that you reconciled us to him, that you presented us to him without blame or without reproach, taking all of our sins away. And you gave us a ministry of reconciliation to bring other people to you. So, Lord, help us to live that out every day of our lives. Help us to become the people of prayer that you want us to be. And help us to find that place with you where we can have continual communion and fellowship with you in a powerful way, where you're revealing things to us that are things to come, where you're speaking into our lives the things that we need that pertain to life and godliness, and where you're releasing your mighty power over us, the power that changes and transforms us from glory to glory. And for it, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, in a few minutes, we're going to receive communion. Sarah will be coming and leading us in that portion. But right now, Pastor Karen is going to come and receive our offerings. So just a reminder that this is First Fruits Sunday. So if you're bringing your first fruits offering for the nation of Israel, for the people in Israel, you can do that and mark that. And also, if you're bringing fasting money or tree money or any other kind of money, just designate it on your envelope, and God will be blessed and you'll be blessed, and We're going over the top in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Is Pastor Kim.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This is the first offering of this year. And so it's very special. We want to take our offerings and sow it in to what God has for us to be doing this year. Last year is gone. Praise God.
Amen.
And we have a new year now, 2021. We want to fully and completely trust God. This is what the word says from John 10, starting in verse 7. It says, "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture.'" And then the verse that I really want to emphasize, verse 10. "The thief comes only," notice, that's his sole purpose, "only to steal and kill and destroy." That's our enemy, the thief, Satan. But look at the contrast. Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life, and not only life, but have life to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." What I want more than anything this year is for all of us to understand Jesus is totally opposite from the devil. His plan and purpose for us, totally opposite than what the devil plans. The devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy, while Jesus comes to give us life. And that more abundantly, that to the fullest extent. And I have a word from the Lord that Jerry Seville has posted on his internet. Jerry Seville is a preacher that Pastor Harley and I have followed throughout the years. And I believe he's very solid. But God gave him this word in October. And I want us to focus on it because it's so good. And it just displays the nature of God and how we can fully trust God in every area of our lives, including our finances. So let me read this. He said, "Recently, while in a time of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I heard him speak these words, 'A new era has begun, and more signs and wonders will be seen in 2021. For those who will heed my voice and obey my words, they'll experience my goodness and my power as never seen nor heard. They'll see the fruit of their faithfulness come bursting forth, and they'll prosper and flourish like never before. Abundance and overflow, that's what they'll see. I'll bring it to pass because of their love and their obedience to me. No longer will their enemy have the upper hand, for my spirit is moving, and an outpouring of my power is coming upon the land. Many triumphant victories will mark this new era. It's what I've planned, so rest in me. Miracle after miracle, that's what I'll do. Decree it and receive it, and know that it's true. Refuse to be swayed by what's said in the news. With me on your side, how can you lose? So stay with my word. It's faithful and true. I'll bring it to pass, and great things I will do." And then a few days later, on October 7th of 2020, he received this. "Yes, a new era is here. It's already begun, and I've planned marvelous things for you in 2021. Abundant overflow is the order of the day, so rest assured it's on its way. Your adversary can't stop what I've already decreed. So stay in faith and get ready to receive. Allow no one to discourage you by what they say. Keep looking to me, and I'll have my way. And then on October 8th, he received this. Tell my people they'll need to remain strong and close to me so they'll not be deceived by their enemy. His attacks will intensify, and he'll try to prevail, but my power is greater, and it shall not fail. Fear not, nor be fretful over whatever shall come. The battle is mine, and I've already won. Contrary to what you'll see and what you shall hear, 2021 will be a great year. A year of abundance and overflow. That's my plan, and it shall be so. And my desire today is that as we give in our offerings, as we give the first fruits, as we tithe, Lord, that we would give sowing in to this, knowing the nature of our Heavenly Father, knowing the nature of Jesus, our Good Shepherd, that He has life for us in every area and to the full. And that's our desire, to live for Him to the full this coming year. Amen. So let's confess together. Let's stand and confess together. Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Thank you, Lord, for your love.
And provision and protection.
And provision and protection.
We joyfully sow our seed into this new year.
We joyfully sow our seed
into this new year.
With expectation of
the goodness and greatness of your plans and purposes.
Of the goodness and the greatness of your plans and purposes.
Lord, it is you we fully trust.
Lord, it is you we fully trust.
And therefore we have no fear.
And therefore we have no fear.
We desire to be more fully a part.
We desire to be more fully a part.
Of what you are doing.
Are doing.
Than ever before.
Ever before.
In Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.